Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team of Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We are here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. And when I say we, I mean Scott Ridgway with Cobalt Mortgage.
Hey,
Scott,
good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Lance. How are you doing?
Good. Great to talk to you. Glad to have you back. And of course, as always, we like to thank John McKay here for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John? How are things going with you?
Well, I liked the snow earlier this week.
Well, it was kind of crazy. We weren't sure if we were going to get it. We did get it. I tell you what we did on Monday is we drove around to all of our potential listings and we snapped a lot of outdoor pictures before the snow was flying.
Nice.
It is something that this time of year is challenging for us and we have to worry about is if someone says, yeah, let's list our house next week
or
the following. A lot of times I'm saying if there's even a chance, let me know because today there's no snow and it's a sunny day. And if we want the house to look as best as it possibly can, we have to run out there and get those outdoor pictures at least.
That's a good point. Sunny day as opposed to cloudy.
Because once it snows and covers that, you can't tell. I mean, colors, landscaping, it makes it very difficult.
Right. So, yeah, how do you know there's curbing around the lawn? You just don't.
Yeah, you wouldn't know if there's cement curbing. And so one
how
of
do
those...
you know there's not a body in the backyard?
Didn't we have that radio show last year?
We did have that radio show.
Oh, my
show.
Gosh.
We saved that for Halloween.
Nice pullback there, John. That was good.
What we do. So as always, folks, we like to start out with some local news that you might have seen in the media, and we always kind of have some commentary on that and report on that. And holy cow, did the controversy come out on the TV this week? We've got what we've got is we had KNDU reporting that out in Badger Canyon, next to the Cottonwood Elementary School. Seems like we're running this story every 6 months around here, but what they have proposed, and they got some backlash, is, yes, you guessed it, another RV park.
Oh, my.
So I believe we've even had guests on the show talk about this before.
Yes, we did.
Not this location, but other potential RV parks. Well, as you can imagine, it's definitely created some controversy out there. Homeowners, not wanting this on their back fence.
Right.
Rightfully so. I mean, there are CC&Rs and stuff that happen.
What are CC&Rs? Maybe you should cover that real quick so people understand what CC&Rs are.
Well, what a CC&R is it's covenants, conditions, and restrictions. And those are rules that run with the land and govern your property and your neighborhood. They're different from neighborhood to neighborhood.
So kind of what you can and can't do in an area?
Exactly. So a lot of times you have can't park the RV out in your driveway for 3 months at a time. Can't build a garage.
Certain types of fencing.
Forward of your house. Exactly.
Boats behind fences, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
So and that's basically to protect, it's to keep the neighborhood in case you've got somebody that wants to turn it into a wildlife zoo. It's to keep some continuity and to make everybody happy so that you don't have one neighbor that goes off the deep end.
Yeah, raising chickens in the backyard kind of thing.
And it is there to prevent, too, to kind of sometimes keep things neighborly so it's not neighbors, pointing fingers at each other, but more say, look, these are the covenants we agreed to live by when we moved into this neighborhood.
Isn't the purpose really to preserve home values? That kind of bottom line?
That's a huge purpose. Is there's people that you set the standards to have a certain price range of home in a neighborhood, to have the lawns upkept. So that's exactly right. So you're preserving property values. Now, it comes from every form. There are the most restrictive forms up to painting your fence and getting letters if the paint on your fence starts to fade a little bit, all the way to, to maybe more relaxed that says, you can just have 5 horses instead of 10. So there's different levels of this that happens depending upon what you're looking for. And it's love or hate. Some people hate them, some people love them, and then there's sometimes, as always, most things, there's an in-between area. So.
Well, that's good because I think a lot of people don't really understand that concept that the bottom line that's done is to preserve those home values, and that's really where if people are making one of the biggest investment purchases of their life, it's pretty important. It's a kind of a critical piece.
You're exactly right. And so what happens in this case, too, and what happens a lot of times is there's a transition area. There is a neighborhood, and then there might be some open space behind it, zoned differently, might not be in the neighborhood, might not affect the CC&Rs, but it's very close to where you are, and that's where we see controversies and stuff like this happen. So anyway, people are going to be talking about it. People are looking at putting in rules in place for the development. I think people are really going to try to come to some sort of compromise. size, and that's what they have these forums for. In fact, for people that are concerned about this issue, there is a February 3rd meeting at the Benton County Board of Adjustment in Prosser, and this is going to be an open forum for residents to discuss these issues, for the developers to then take those issues and try to find a common middle ground. So, as always, we hope that people can satisfy the needs of both parties. You can go online and search for this. In fact, you could go to KNDU's website and find this story. And if you want to see some seething remarks about it, you can also scroll down to the comment section. And I will not; those can be online, but I will not read those on the air.
Oh wow!
So anyway, that is some of the local news that we're looking at from a development wise. But what we wanted to talk about was kind of our prediction show.
Right.
What's happening in 2011 and what we're looking for.
The crystal ball effect.
The crystal ball. And this is always a fun show to do because we're kind of taking our experience and what we've seen happen and making really kind of some accurate observations based upon that.
Right.
Now, these are predictions and these are observations.
Yeah, don't hold us to these. So, these are just guesstimates.
So you know what? Just to be fun and just to be fair, mm-hmm. I pulled the notes from the 2010 guesstimate show.
This will be fun. I can't wait to hear
how the year was gonna turn out. So our number one prediction and that we had thought would affect value and that we wanted people to look for when we started this year and did the same show a year ago was that it was our belief that the tax credit program was too expensive for the government to maintain long term. It was our belief that those credits were going to expire. There was a lot of talk about them not expiring, continuing for the year. We got that one right, thankfully.
Nailed that one.
Those did go away. And then definitely, just as we had predicted, not only did those go away, but they drastically affected and changed our market in 2010.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about the fact what happens when the tax credits are done. And we saw a direct correlation between that and
huge. Well, it's the difference between artificial change and natural change. And in markets, that's very important to stay focused on.
And so just to show how dramatic that effect was, when we looked back at those numbers through June of this year. Through June of this year, our market was running 20% ahead of 2009 in total number of sales. Mm-hmm. And so we were screaming along to that point.
Yeah.
And all predictions at that point based upon those numbers and projecting were saying, yeah, we're 20% ahead. This thing is burning it up. Well, actually, when it was all said and done and those credits expired, we ended up in 2010 statistically by not very much less than 100 sales separated 2010 to 2009, but we ended up being down about 70 sales less in 2010 than 2009. So all things being even, almost an identical year. But mm-hmm. to think that by June we were tracking 20% ahead of the previous year to date, and then we ended up being a little bit less means that that we gave up that 20% in the second half. So that prediction we got correct.
Now, two for two.
Our next prediction. Very interesting, and looking back and I'm reading the notes, is we were, Scott and I both were 100% convinced that in our prediction that we were going to see rates increase, interest rates increase. We did not think we were at sustainable levels, and you know what? We're wrong sometimes.
They have actually stayed
stayed relatively the same. And that was one that we got wrong. That's why it is interesting. That's why we have Scott on the show here. I didn't think they possibly could have maintained that low. I was there. I was right there saying, you know, I didn't think they would stay that low. But Scott, mm-hmm. they did. Can you, from the lending side and from the mortgage side, as we look to this next year, can you shed a little light on that for us? Talk about that. I'm glad we were wrong. I'm first here to admit we were wrong, and for all of our customers out there, I'm excited that we were.
Well, you know, when you put $700 billion to work and you have a influx of capital coming into purchases in the bond market, it actually shows a sustained demand Now, let's go back to that artificial versus natural conversation that who would have ever estimated that we would have had that much money poured into buying bonds?
Right, that's exactly
right. And that's one of the things that really has held these so low. The question is sustainability. And in this year, what happens in the economic and international markets that's going to continue to hold that demand on those bonds? And that's really where what's kind of holding rates down right now. We haven't seen a substantial, although this last 6 weeks we've had a pretty good rally in the stock market. Well, what that shows is that the equities may be coming back. The financials are starting to show some strength right now. And so we have to keep a really good watch on what the markets are doing, how they digest all of the information and data that occurred in 2010, and what their predictions are as far as what that's going to do ultimately to the bond market. And just this last Wednesday, we had a little bit of a window into that with Portugal. Portugal looked like they may end up having a serious financial crisis, and they were able to successfully sell off their sovereign debt in the form of 10-year notes to help fund their budget deficit. So there's a lot of stuff going on internationally that we have to pay attention to that makes a difference on the demand of our U.S. bonds and our U.S. dollar. So those are things at Cobalt Mortgage that we watch every day, and collectively, those things really are what move our markets and the interest rates. So unless we see huge inflation, we think that rates are going to stay relatively low in a range maybe between 4.5% and 5.25% for this entire year. So that would be my prediction and Cobalt Mortgage's prediction for this year.
Well, wow. that is good news. I mean, you know, here we...
So there's a lot of factors, obviously, that go into this.
There is a lot of factors. Yeah. And kind of like you said, kind of like the tax credits expiring, at some point that $700 billion that's being infused into that market is going to stop.
Mm-hmm. It's artificial purchasing that creates a directional change in the demand for those things. If the federal government wasn't buying those bonds, who would?
Right.
Who would be buying those? International, other countries? Who? And you have to look at what yields are we paying versus what yields in other countries are available for investors to purchase. So if we weren't purchasing our own, then maybe the demand wouldn't be so high.
Which means the rate has to go...
Which means the rates would go up
to draw people into that investment.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is something that sometimes is you've got to talk through. And
it's not Econ 101.
And for me,
it's a pretty big...
to go to that simple fact of, yes, if they weren't buying those, then how would we entice someone to buy those? And that would be the only way to do that would be by raising the rate.
Yeah, and so then we have that conversation about the housing market and what variables will spur the home sales and the housing market changes that we really need to see in our country. And you're going to, I think, talk a little bit about where Tri-Cities sits.
That's exactly
nationally,
right.
And what's going on, because we've talked about being on an island here, and it's kind of looking like we still are on a little bit of an island.
Well, and kind of looking like it is. I mean, that is exactly what they're saying. I mean, it is... It's really phenomenal when we look at it. And one thing that we wanted to talk about is, what's happening in 2011. A lot of times we look at predictions of people that know more than we do, which is a good thing, folks. And so, like Scott said he talked about Cobalt and some of the some of the folks with PhDs and stuff that are projecting for their company. The same thing, I do rely on national statistics websites, people that have lots of statistical background and knowledge behind them. So this week, a new report came out from a company called Veros, and that you can find this information at Veros, V-E-R-O-S.com. And in that report, it was reported that Kennewick, Richland, and Pasco was ranking as the second strongest market in the country set to appreciate in 2011. Now, before everybody gets too excited and thinks like, oh my gosh, we're the second best country in the market, what does this mean?
Second best country?
Second best.
Yeah, I know. We do talk globally here. I love that idea.
Second best market, metro market.
I gotcha.
Okay, so what that means is they are predicting appreciation rates for our market in 2011 to be 3.4%, which is not a huge number, but folks, that makes us number two.
And I just got to say this, if we're the second best, in the nation, yeah. And that's our number. And you have to say, compared to what?
Yeah, well, I can give you those comparisons.
So I don't know if we want to hear
these. So compared to what is, so the best markets for appreciation this year that they're reporting is San Diego, number one. They have us listed as second. I mean, I can't remember the last time I talked about San Diego and Tri-Cities in the
same breath. Yeah.
do they have snow right now? Just checking.
Pittsburgh is actually coming in at third with an approximate 2.7% appreciation. Here's the one that surprised me, folks. Fargo, North Dakota at 2.6%.
Wow.
And then Washington, D.C. is expected to appreciate it at 2.5%.
They could use it.
Apparently, all that money. Sorry, I won't go there.
Time out. So you have to think what conditions are happening in those areas. Is it a new manufacturing facility? Is it what is causing the growth in those areas to place them? And in Tri-Cities, we have had a lot of growth.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes, we have.
We really have. And so you look at our job growth, you look at the money that's come into the economy, and you look where we're going. Now, folks, you've heard this in the news, and it is true. Veros is reporting the same thing that we see a lot on the news. Worst market to be in next year, Reno, Nevada, down 7%.
Mm.
Boise, Nampa area, fortunately headed down also. Orlando, still going down. Daytona Beach, still going down. And the fifth worst on the list is Fort Pierce, Florida. So Florida's still in a major, major crisis. They thought values would never get lower than they were last year. They're predicting that they are still going to be decreasing in those markets. Mm-hmm. We are seeing some leveling out in markets like Tucson and Phoenix, not dropping as fast as they were. But still, it is looking like finally we are starting to, this year, potentially be, they've talked about what they call a double dip in housing, and kind of the second dip being this last year. It's looking like, and they're predicting that metro markets, 40% of metro markets will start to appreciate again.
That's good.
In 2011. So we're starting to maybe get back to that 50% mark.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like, once again, we're going to be leading the way, and we've got great job growth, we've got great new innovation in our community, and we've continued to make strides for this community to have that job growth and to have that. So it looks like we are going to be fairly stable. After the break, though, I want to go over a scenario. It's great to be excited about being the second best in the country, but when we look at what 3% appreciation means, we have to factor that into how long are you going to live in a house at those rates? What is it going to take for us kind of to break even to make that decision to buy that house?
Break evens are excellent analytics.
As a real estate agent, I don't want to always say this, but if you're in a community for less than 3 or 4 years, we're going to look at the math and at that point determine if it is a good decision for you to buy or not. So we will talk about that when we come back from the break.
Right here on News Talk 870.
We've been here talking about our predictions, John, for 2011. We went over some of our predictions that we had for 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Not all correct. Luckily for our listeners and homebuyers out there, we were wrong. We had thought rates would be higher now than they were. But as Scott explained in the first break, he had to jump out here to an appointment. But as he explained in the first break, that there were some things that happened that nobody expected. And that came in the form of, I don't know, $600-700 billion
into the economy.
Buying. And so when those things happen, it can change the market. We looked at how our market changed here due to tax credits and the effect it had on it. And we're also reviewing some of 2010. We had a really stable market. I mean, it had been predicted that we were one of the best markets in the nation. Our sales, even though they were faster in the first half of the year, slower in the second half. Overall, we stayed very consistent and being almost identical in our sales from 2009 to 2010. As always, too, we broke that out in segments of the market to kind of show what is selling, and we're very consistent year to year here. In fact, we break it out in 100,000 chunks to kind of show the market, and 0 to 100,000, everything below 100, that still represented last year, ended up to be 9% of our market.
Mm-hmm. A lot of starter homes.
A lot of starter homes. Now, you go 100 to 200,000, and this is the bread and butter for where we're at. 100 to 200,000 represented 52% of our market.
Wow.
I mean, that is where the bulk of our sales are going, almost 1,700 sales.
And that's why you're seeing homes being built in that price range.
In that price range, because that is what is moving. And they know, those builders, they know these numbers. We pay attention to them, and they're educated about that. 200 to 300,000, now kind of making some moves in our market a little bit. Some of this is the appreciation we've had and stuff. But 200 to 300,000 representing 26% of our market. Mm. And that's a little higher than we've seen in the past, but also that is kind of an indicator of, you know, our average sales price kind of steadily creeping up.
And that means more income. That tends to reflect higher paying jobs and big companies, you know, 40, 50, 60 people relocating here, that kind of thing.
That's exactly right. And then we go 300 to 400,000, we start to see the trend go back down. 300 to 400,000, 7% of the market.
Mm-hmm.
And then 400 to 500,000, let's go a little bit lower,
just
about 2% of the market.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you can guess, above 500 is less than 1% of our market.
Yeah.
So we kind of see that happen, but basically between 100 and 300,000, we're looking at over 70% of our market.
And that's healthy.
And that's just kind of where we're at, and that's kind of the bulk of what I'm seeing. Now, we talked a little bit about what was projected for our market, what we're looking at as an appreciation rate.
3.9,
and
right?
Then 3.4.
3.4
is what the statistical experts smarter than me are saying.
Mm-hmm.
So we're also comparing that to, now when you go to buy a house, and how long are you going to be somewhere? And we're always telling people to go through this calculation. So to make the math easy, I did $100,000. You buy a $100,000 house.
Mm-hmm.
As a general rule of thumb, I'm saying to break even on that house, you're going to want to be in a home like that for between 3 to 4 years. And 4 years is kind of where it starts to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
What we look at happening, if we take the average appreciation rate for next year and project that that's where we're going to be for a while, you look at a $100,000 house, and that means at the end of year one, it should be worth $103,400. With that 3.4% appreciation rate. And then you look at years two and three. So at the end of year three, with that standard appreciation rate, that home would be worth about $110,000. What you've got, though, when you go to sell, is there's some selling costs that you've got to factor into that. You've mm-hmm. got title insurance. You've got almost 2% of excise tax to pay to the state. And then you've got, if there's two agents involved, a buyer's agent and a seller's agent. So at a sales price of $110,000 3 years down the road, you just about break even. You would probably be looking at about $9,100 in costs between taxes, insurance, and everything. So you've got to assume, though, that there was probably some cost to living in that home those 3 years, whether it be, you know, updating the landscaping, you know,
carpet,
adding blinds
flooring
to the house, anything that could potentially come up with home ownership. So because of that, that's where I kind of factor in that fourth year's appreciation. So, you know, a lot of times it will make sense if someone's going to be in the house that long, but in a market like ours, if you're going to be in a house for a year or even 2 years, it's probably going to be difficult to recoup that investment with selling in that time, unless there is something, some massive extraordinary force on there that is participating mm-hmm. in that, whether you bought it as a foreclosure or you fixed it up, it was in a great neighborhood but in bad condition, and you brought it back to the condition of the neighborhood. So if there was some extraordinary force at play in that, you might be looking at that. But otherwise, that's the general rule of thumb that we're using. So for 2011, we take everything we know, we look at what we think is going to happen. Those experts are saying that we're going to appreciate about 3.4% this year in what we're looking at. I think that statistically, they're looking at overall statistics and probably don't know the smaller numbers that we have at play with us that I know from our local market.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're probably overestimating a little bit. That's just we've got to make a prediction here on the show, or wouldn't it be interesting, John?
Yeah.
And I've got to have something to be wrong about.
Okay.
For next year's show, but I think our market's going to continue to be very steady.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to click along like we have. The thing that is not known is last year keeping our sales about the same is we had 6 months of tax credits really pumping those sales up, and that's what gave us a lot of growth and kept us similar to 2008. We're not going to have that this year from everything that I can see. I mean,
no.
unless there's another miracle dropped, out of the sky or from Washington,
mm-hmm.
that's probably not what we're going to see. So I think that the statisticians are kind of overestimating a little bit with local forces. I do think we will have some appreciation for sure, but I think it'll be mild appreciation as opposed to being maybe second in the country. So I do think that we'll see that number probably fall between 2 and 2.5 instead of 3.4. It's hard to tell. I mean, here you're kind of, splitting the hairs, but I just think that based upon the gross number of sales that we'll look at, we've got to consider that our drop from 09 to last year, I think we will see that pattern stay, maybe drop a little bit more or be consistent this next year. We've maintained a great pace in the face of massive adversity, and I think we're going to see that slow just a tad bit. So everything is still looking great. Interest rates are still looking great. We've still got a lot of people moving into this area, and I'm seeing a lot of folks move in that are non-Hanford related, which mm-hmm. we always love to see.
Yeah, economic growth so is not tied to the VIT plan.
That is definitely driving some of it, and we're going to be closely monitoring the transitions, with the stimulus money, how that's affecting job growth, and we'll be talking about that later this year on the show for sure. So that's kind of what we're looking at. Everything with rates and people being able to still get loans here, yes, it's more complicated, but it looks good. I mean, we've adjusted to, these changes, and we've made those adjustments, and we're looking at just really another stable year. Of course, if anything
changes,
boringly stable, but, in the Tri-Cities, boringly stable has seemed to made us one of the best places in the country, and so that boringly stable is great. In fact, I'm going to enjoy it, and we'll take it all day long. So that's kind of what we're looking at for 2011. John, do we have time today for a pick three?
I think we can squeeze that in. We can squeeze it in.
Well, let's talk some real estate here as we drop off. We've had a lot to talk about today. Once again, we probably made it through half the material we prepared, but we do want to get some real estate in. Pick number one, I just have to say, is a fabulous house. It's out in North Richland. It's located at 2008 Newcomer. This house is over 2,000 square feet. It's 2,040 square feet, 3-bedroom plus a den. It's got beautiful redone hardwood floors, covered porch in the back. You're just not going to find this in North Richland for $140,000.
Wow.
And that's what this house is priced at. The sellers say, get it sold. It's $140,000. They've priced it right, and it's ready to sell. So fabulous. If you're in that $140,000 price range and you're looking for a great North Richland home, please give us a call, and we'd love to show it for you. Brand new listing, job transferee, moving out of town, 9904 Vincenzo Drive. And what this is a fabulous townhouse. It's a 2-bedroom, 2-bath, rambler townhouse with a 1-car garage, 1165 square feet. It's got raised ceilings, gorgeous tile floors, oak countertops, great floor plan, nice sized yard, and the best is the exterior landscaping and maintenance is taken care of for you. And this is out on Vincenzo, West Pasco, and it's $145,000.
Wow.
If you're looking for a low maintenance townhouse, like to travel on the weekends, this is we looked up in the last year, this is going to be the lowest priced of those townhouses to sell at $145,000. $45,000. So this is the deal. The owner said, sell it now. I'm transferring out. So lowest priced in that area for that type of townhouse. The pick number three just listed 8701 6th Avenue. This is Hanson Park over there behind Columbia Center, 4th and Columbia Center Boulevard. Rambler, four bedroom, two bath, 2,100 square feet, huge kitchen, beautiful house, big master bath, and this is priced at $255,000. So great price, great location. It's only 2 years old, and it looks like it's brand new.
Wow.
So landscaping, all the work's been done. None of that new construction stuff you have to worry about doing yourself. This is ready to move into. So, folks, give us a call, and we are ready to go. There's a lot of new property coming on the market right now. Mm-hmm. We're excited about another great, stable year in the Tri-Cities. All predictions are looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. And we'll keep you apprised as the year moves on. And we look forward to making these great predictions come true.
They're right here on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update on News Talk 870.